Hello, boys and girls. Welcome back to the story of Jesus. Yesterday, we read of Jesus's journey to Calvary. Today, we are going to learn about the ultimate gift that Jesus gave to us. So, grab a fuzzy blanket and your favorite stuffed animal, because it's time to follow Jesus. This is the story of Jesus by Ellen White, chapter 24, Death of Christ. In yielding up his precious life, Christ was not upheld by triumphant joy. His heart was rent with anguish and oppressed with gloom. But it was not the fear or the pain of death that caused his suffering. It was the crushing weight of the sin of the world, a sense of separation from his Father's love. This was what broke the Savior's heart and brought his death so soon. Christ felt the woe that sinners will feel when they awake to realize the burden of their guilt, to know that they have forever separated themselves from the joy and peace of heaven. Angels beheld with amazement the agony of despair borne by the Son of God. His anguish of mind was so intense that the pain of the cross was hardly felt. Nature itself was in sympathy with the scene. The sun shone clearly until midday, then suddenly it seemed to be blotted out. All about the cross was darkness as deep as the blackest midnight. This supernatural darkness lasted fully 3 hours. A nameless terror took possession of the multitude. The cursing and reveling ceased. Men and women and children fell upon the earth in abject terror. Lightnings occasionally flashed forth from the cloud and revealed the cross and the crucified Redeemer. All thought that their time of retribution had come. At the ninth hour, the darkness lifted from the people, but still wrapped the Savior as with a mantle. The lightning seemed to be hurled at him as he hung upon the cross. It was then that he sent up the desperate cry, my God, why have you forsaken me?" In the meantime, the darkness had settled over Jerusalem and the plains of Judea. As all eyes were turned in the direction of the fated city, they saw the fierce lightnings of God's wrath directed toward it. Suddenly, the gloom was lifted from the cross, and in clear, trumpet-like tones that seemed to resound throughout creation, Jesus cried, "It is finished! Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." A light encircled the cross, and the face of the Savior shone with a glory like the sun. He then bowed his head upon his breast and died. The multitude about the cross stood paralyzed and with bated breath gazed upon the Savior. Again, darkness settled upon the earth, and a hoarse rumbling like the heavy thunder was heard. This was accompanied with a violent earthquake. The people were shaken into heaps by the earthquake. The wildest confusion and terror ensued. In the surrounding mountains, rocks were rent asunder and went crashing down into the plains below. Tombs were broken open, and many of the dead were cast out. Creation seemed to be breaking into atoms. Priests, rulers, soldiers, and people, mute with terror, were lying prostrate upon the ground. At the time of the death of Christ, some of the priests were ministering in the temple at Jerusalem. They felt the shock of the earthquake, and at the same moment, the veil of the temple, which separated the holy from the most holy place, was rent in two from top to bottom by the same bloodless hand that wrote the words of doom upon the walls of Belshazzar's palace. The most holy place of the earthly sanctuary was no longer sacred. Never would the presence of God again overshadow that mercy seat. Never would the acceptance or displeasure of God be manifested by the light or shadow in the precious stones in the breastplate of the high priest. Henceforth, the blood of the offerings in the temple was of no value. The Lamb of God, in dying, had become the sacrifice for the sins of the world. When Christ died upon the cross of Calvary, the new and living way was thrown open to Jew and Gentile alike. Angels rejoiced as the Savior cried, "It is finished!" The great plan of redemption was to be carried out. Through a life of obedience, the sons of Adam might be exalted finally to the presence of God. Satan was defeated and knew that his kingdom was lost. To be continued. I love this chapter because Satan is defeated in this chapter, and I am so glad that Jesus defeated Satan. Now, it's time for our questions. But today, I'm not going to ask the questions. You are. I want you to think of some questions from the last few chapters that you would like answered. And I would like you to either ask somebody who you trust or send us the questions that you have that you would like answered. I know we've covered some very big concepts in the last few chapters, and I don't want you to go away after reading this book not understanding the love of Jesus and what he did for you and what you can do for him. I don't want you to go away not understanding that concept. So if you have questions that you want answered about these chapters and about what you've been reading and what we've been reading together, you can email us at answers@startingwithjesus.com. And you can let us know what kind of questions you have, or you can ask a parent, or you can ask somebody who you trust and ask them the questions that you have. Also, we have an activity today at aplacetodosomething.com/the story, and you'll be able to have access to that. We are so glad that you've been listening, and don't forget to check back tomorrow for the next chapter in the story of Jesus.
This audio program was brought to you by A Place to Do Something and narrated by Ruthie Reeves. You can find more programs like this at www.aplacetodosomething.com.